Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. This is Major League Baseball for Monday, May 13th, coming off a very successful weekend. You can see the recap there on screen of Friday and Saturday. Sunday was just as good, up another couple of units on Sunday. You'll see that recap on tomorrow's show. But things going well, the play of the day, turning around, going the right direction, which you love to see. The A-grade picks, you're doing well, the mall doing well, everything going really well. And we even got a parlay of the day winner to get that back into the positive here on Sunday. So many good things happening. The model's really starting to come into its own. I feel like I'm starting to see the model really well. So really excited for what we've been doing here this last week. And then hopefully we can continue that with another 11% ROI week. Actually, a little bit higher than that, I think, what you had in Sunday's results. So pretty solid. Again, a fantastic week for us here. Not every week's a winner, unfortunately, but we continue to follow the same principles that lead us to profitability. If you've been here for any time, you are well aware of that. Again, the overall model, same story as before. I think hopefully that what we will start to see is those first five numbers kind of holding steady there, strong little 3-4% ROI, and the full game numbers get better. The totals have just been crushing it. So again, just slowly but steadily, you know, hopefully the model can continue to do well. But again, the A grades are the best of those, and that's what we've started doing, picking out those handful of top plays, seemingly along the lines of a play of the day, but having a few others that we like too, those honorable mentions that are like play of the day lights, that are the next best. B grades have done really well for us here, so hopefully we can continue that. If you're looking for all those picks, Dub Club is the place to be. More picks, updates when starting pitchers change. You got a handful of games with no lines right now, so who knows if the starting pitchers will change on that. Weather updates, information when you can't watch the show, and a 10-day free trial to start out with the link in the show description or that QR code there on screen. And of course, the Discord chat where we not only have a lot of fun, give each other advice, tips, little Q&As back and forth, lots of good conversation. So lots of good things happening over there on Dub Club. Give that a try if you haven't. We appreciate everyone who's there. Your support helps keep us in business. And so if we're helping you make money and you are enjoying the show, consider signing up. Hopefully you get your money's worth, a lot of benefits. Try to give everybody everything I can to help them out, because we appreciate you and you appreciate us. Some quick reminders here before we get started. Information about the model and the community rules, picksoftheprofessor.com/new. Weather is subject to change. We are about 24 hours away-ish, give or take, from most of these games. Some of the stuff could change in updates, of course, on Dub Club. Some of these total projections might change a little bit based off of what weather stuff happens in the next several many hours. We are projecting an average game. Anything can happen in one game. Nobody knows what will happen in one game. Anyone telling you otherwise is full of BS. And so what we talk about with average games or median outcomes is simply viewing the world in probabilities. That's how the sports books do it. That's how the best sports bettors in the world do it. So we're going to try to do it as well. What we mean by that is that 55% winners will lose 9 out of 10 times. But if we are relatively accurate in our assessment of probability, have a well-calibrated model, which I believe Sideline is, then those 55% winners will win us more in the 11 wins than we will lose in the 9 losses. And the same thing goes for the 45% winners will win us more in the 9 wins than the 11 losses. So the idea is if we can assign an appropriate probability, we know what price to play things at. Anything is a good bet. If it's at the right price, we have to know what that is. You can disagree with what the price should be, if it should be 5 cents, 10 cents, whatever, higher. But as long as we have that idea, that's what we're shooting for, being aware of that. But as always, take what you like and leave the rest. Last but not least, if you could like the show, we would like that. Start off with the Blue Jays and the Orioles. A little bit of a early start here, 6:35 p.m. Eastern, about 70 degrees to start, mid-60s to close. Wind will be blowing out at 5 to 10 miles an hour. It'll be a nice night. That slight breeze out will probably play pretty average, still pitcher-friendly, average for that park, which has become slightly pitcher-friendly. So a slightly overall pitcher-friendly atmosphere. These two pitchers, I'm not sure how much help they'll need, Jose Berríos and Corbin Burns. Berríos, a guy who's just been all over the map. We've talked a lot about him, that he's never as good as he looks at his best, and he's never as bad as he looks at his worst. Does have a 2.85 ERA, but again, remember that ERA is kind of not the best thing for predicting a pitcher's performance, because ERA is partially attributed to things like the weather, the park, the fielders, and sometimes you give full credit of an earned run to a pitcher when in reality it should be, you know, 50-50 share with his fielders. And sometimes you give no credit to a pitcher and it's all about the fielder when in reality the fielder only had a small impact. A good example of that would be, you know, error on the first play of the inning, you know, two straight outs, and then the pitcher gives up nine home runs straight. Well, it's nine earned runs. You still give up nine home runs, right? So Berríos does have a good ERA, 2.85, matches that of Corbin Burns, but the underlying metrics for Berríos put him more in the mid to low fours. He's a very average pitcher. There was a time a couple of years ago when we backed him because people thought he was terrible, and I said he's not that bad. I'm going to look at him at this point. I'm going to say he's not this good either. He's still just he's a solid pitcher. Nothing wrong with that. Very solid pitcher, very run-of-the-mill average for the Blue Jays, whose pen doesn't look good. Their offense is going in the wrong direction, and things aren't going at the right time for that necessarily, facing an Orioles team that just looks so dang good. 26-12 here, entering Sunday's game. You know, just so many good things to say about the Orioles. Corbin Burns is a fantastic pitcher. I don't really need to go too deep into that. His underlying metrics are actually better than his projection is. They're slightly higher than his ERA, but there's a chance that Corbin Burns is actually better than that 74 grade. I mean, really just not much else to say. This Orioles team is really good. Their bullpen is respectable. Obviously, Kimbrel's the only question mark, and if they could upgrade at closer, you know, that would really solve all their problems that they have. They don't even have big problems. They're at home. The market says they win 60% of the time. We say 65% of the time. So the current price right now, minus 160, is good enough to get into that B grade threshold. The only question you have with the Orioles, it's Orioles or pass in my book, is do you want to play them on the money line, the run line, the minus one, put them in a parlay? You got a lot of different options there. We'll give you an official recommendation over on Dub Club. Otherwise, I'll just leave it with it's Orioles or pass. And again, the totals projected fairly in line with the market, not really seeing much of an edge there on the total. Marlins and the Tigers, the other game starting off a little bit earlier here, 6:40 p.m. Eastern time. Sixto Sanchez and Matt Manning. Sanchez in his three starts, a 7.50 ERA. Not as bad as that. Underlying metrics in the upper fours, but folks, underlying metrics in the upper fours for major league standards is still very bad. And you can see it right now, according to sideline, he is dead last. And so, again, you can both be not as bad as your ERA and still be very bad. And that's what you have with Sanchez. Matt Manning, 4.24 ERA. Advanced metrics are actually higher than that. He's not very good either, but at least it's a low bar in comparison. This Marlins offense isn't very good. The Tigers offense is at least okay. Right now, the model still has the Marlins bullpen is better than the Tigers. Some of you might be a little bit confused at that based off the Tigers so far ERA being better in their bullpen. But I said it before this weekend series with the Astros, and I'll say it again, this Tigers bullpen's a lot of smoke and mirrors. I don't think it's that good. I think what you're seeing is small sample size luck, and against the Astros, their bullpen got shellacked on Sunday in a loss and blew a close game, blew a lead also Friday. So their bullpen that's supposedly really good cost them two of the three games this weekend against an Astros team that's fighting to get out of the basement of the AL West, which goes back to my point of why we have predictions, why we have modeling here to try to help us out, that this Tigers bullpen had been looking okay, but when you looked under the hood, there were some concerns. Not to say the Marlins bullpen is great, but their bullpen, again, as I've been saying all along, isn't really their problem. Their problem is all their shutting pitchers are hurt, thus Sanchez pitching, and their offense just is really bad. At this point, we've got the Tigers winning this 58% of the time. The market's got it at 60%. The Marlins at plus 147 right now would be an okay play, I guess. They did get us a first five winner on Saturday, and they both cover the first five and the full game run line here on Sunday, which were two B-grade model picks. But that doesn't really mean I have a lot of faith in backing them. I don't really have a lot of faith in backing this Tigers team either, and I think they're a little bit overpriced. Right now, I'm not running to bet either one of these sides. The total looks pretty spot on as well. So at least for me right now, this is a game that's a pretty easy decision to pass on. Phillies and the Mets, mid-50s for this one in New York. Going to be pretty normal there. Slight breeze blowing out will help, but in general, still going to be a pitcher-friendly ballpark. Christopher Sanchez and Sean Manaea, a pair of lefties here. Sanchez, 3.22 ERA, and a guy that I've said all along I've really liked. We've backed him a lot here the last couple of years. We've been very high on him. Underlying metrics are fantastic. 2.88 FIP, 3.34 XFIP. Really nothing bad to say about Sanchez at all. That 94 grade is going to keep getting better if he keeps on living up to the expectations so far here that I have for him. Sean Manaea, 3.31 ERA. FIP is about that same spot. XFIP's a little bit higher, and that's why he doesn't project as well. But again, a very nice bounce back from Manaea, who for one point about 2 years ago, might have been the worst pitcher in Major League Baseball as he's kind of figured something out. And of course, the other thing that's going to help him is playing in a very pitcher-friendly ballpark. Otherwise, these two teams are pretty similar. This Mets team isn't bad. The Phillies, probably not quite as good as their record is. They're a very good team. And the biggest benefit for the Phillies is their starting pitching. They are so dang good there. And they have a small starting pitching edge in this one, but not by much. This is our favorite situation, what we're going to call the wrong team favored game. The market has the Phillies as more likely to win than not. The model has the Mets as more likely to win than not. Our favorite WTF, and that gets us the free show. A-grade stamp of approval on this one, backing the Mets at plus 110. Anything really plus 105 or better is good enough to get that designation in my mind. The biggest thing here, this Phillies team is good. Christopher Sanchez is good. The model knows that. The model is actually not as high on Manaea as I am personally. And still, we've got this as pretty close to a coin toss game, slightly Mets. If this game was on a neutral field, the Phillies should be slightly favored. If this game was in Philadelphia, they'd be reasonable favorites. But this game being in New York, I'm comfortable enough backing the Mets here. I don't really know what happens, but I like the plus 110 in a game that anything could happen and nothing would really surprise me. There's the whole curse of Sunday Night Baseball thing. That's really been minimized as Major League Baseball has pushed the start time of Sunday Night Baseball up an hour. That has helped. And they seemingly have done a better job with regards to scheduling and giving teams a day off who are traveling, or if they're playing the next day, you know, giving them a home situation. So in this one, you know, the Braves might be the one a little bit more to talk about. We'll get to that in just a second. But the Mets, you know, played a home game here on Sunday night, play a home game on Monday night. Probably shouldn't matter too much. There's plenty of situations where a team will play, you know, a night game back-to-back days while the team traveling in on the day before. No big deal. So I don't really think there's much to be made in that one. There's a little bit to be made of maybe who's pitching and what games with relievers. That's always a concern. Always something you want to check with your bet doing full game betting is making sure that you don't have, you know, the top handful of relievers all out unavailable because they pitched too long in a row. But otherwise, in general, this is a pretty coin toss game. Again, we lean slightly to the Mets, so plus 110 offers us pretty good value here backing the Mets, your A-grade free show play for you on Monday. Rays and the Red Sox, upper 50s in Boston, slight breeze, maybe a cross, maybe we'll play a little bit less hitter friendly than normal. Still should be pretty hitter friendly. Of course, with two good pitchers in Zach Eflin and Cutter Crawford, we don't really expect a lot of runs. Eflin, 3.75 ERA, 3.74 FIP, and an XFIP right in that same ballpark as well. So a situation where the ERA actually does look pretty representative of how good he is. He's a very good pitcher. Crawford has actually pitched insanely well this year with the regards to the ERA and the FIP. The XFIP's a little bit higher, and that's a concern. What that tells me is he's not giving up a lot of home runs. When you're playing half your games in Fenway Park, you're going to give up some home runs because of the monster. So if that home run rate jumps up a little bit more, he's going to go backwards. And that's why the model has him at a 90 grade. He's pitched better than that this year. But there's just a little bit of concern that he's going to start giving up a few more home runs going forward. But so far this year, so good. If you're a Red Sox fan, you have to really love what you've seen from Cutter Crawford. He's been fantastic. The biggest question is just, can he keep this level up? No one really knows the answer to that. How we're trying to balance that is going to be a difference between person to person. The model is trying to do its best guess and say, I know what he's done this year. I'm going to use that. I'm going to look at last year. I'm going to look at all the underlying metrics. And it says that Eflin's still the better pitcher. But again, so far, Crawford's pitched really well. If he can keep that home run rate down, he'll be fine. The model's skeptical that he can keep it quite this low. And so he's merely good, not great. Otherwise, though, these offenses are both okay. The bullpens, this Rays bullpen is terrible. I'm not even sure they're as good as 21st in the majors. Every time I watch them play, it seems like they're giving it up. So the Red Sox will definitely have the edge coming back around to the bullpen. They're at home. The model says they win 53% of the time. The market says they win 53% of the time. And so this is a game with really no edge whatsoever there. The total market might be of interest. The model thinks closer to 9, and you can get an 8.5 with standard minus 110 juice either direction. Kind of an over or pass situation for me. All about the park. The only concern is that both these pitchers are good. The Red Sox relievers are good. The Rays offense can disappear. But of course, the Rays bullpen's involved. So maybe the Red Sox need some runs late. There's a lot of things going in different directions. So if I had to play it, I'm probably playing the over. But as of right now, not my favorite game on the board to attack. Cubs and the Braves, upper 60s in Atlanta, slight breeze, 5 to 10 miles an hour blowing in. Going to make this park play a little bit pitcher-friendly, not quite to the days where they're in Atlanta. We're going to see really hitter-friendly conditions. Imanaga for the Cubs has been fantastic. If it's going to be pitches, I talk about this 1.08 ERA. Obviously, he's not that good, but his FIPs at 239, his XFIPs in the low threes, his grade keeps getting better and better. Right now, he's up to the 17th best starting pitcher. And if he keeps pitching like this, he'll be up towards number 10 in no time. He's been fantastic. We do have a pretty good idea of how pitchers coming from overseas, how they translate. So we do have previous year's data to help anchor that and not overreact to the small sample size. I'm not sure how much of this is, you know, hitters not really knowing what he's got coming over or whatever. But I mean, if he can keep doing this, it's going to be fantastic. The model's high on him. I'm not sure you should be any higher than this because, you know, we have to kind of temper our expectations here. But in general, I mean, this guy's been fantastic. And there's really no other way to put it. Ronaldo Lopez, a guy the model's also high on, 153 ERA. Again, not that good, but again, mid threes for the XFIP, low threes for the FIP. He's also very good. Two really good starting pitchers here. Relievers for the Braves, fantastic. For the Cubs, less so. Braves offense, of course, really good. The market's got the Braves winning this 58% of the time. The model says 60% of the time. Total wise, we're pretty spot on. It's kind of a Braves or pass situation. The minus 147 price right now offers the tiniest little 1 cent of value, probably not worth playing by itself. But as good as Imaniga has been, still think Ronaldo Lopez is underrated. It's Braves or pass. Depending on what price you can find or how you can get creative with this, there might be a good way to play this. There might not. But as always, the more sports books you have in your arsenal, the better you're going to do. You're going to save 5 cents here and there. That's 5 cents more when you win, 5 cents less that it costs you when you lose. You're going to lose some. That's the way it goes. So make sure you have, you know, three or four sports books in your betting repertoire here. BetUS, a great book to have. If you don't already have them, that link in the show description will get you started off. They're still doing the promotion. Again, don't know how long it'll last, but they're still doing 125% bonus on your first ever three deposits. So check them out today if you have not done so already.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer, a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits, plus 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
Carrying on with the Pirates and the Brewers, 7:40 p.m. Eastern, first pitch, upper 50s in Milwaukee, probably closing the roof here. Mitch Keller and Colin Ray. Mitch Keller, 4.41 ERA, FIP 4.12, XFIP in the upper threes, better than his ERA. Again, as I've said the last several times with him, when you look at the underlying metrics, figured it out enough to be decent. Maybe not quite as good as his peak, but not quite as bad as some of that spring training end of last year. And a couple of those really early starts this year, I think he's decent enough. Colin Ray, I still have no faith in. 3.29 ERA looks great, but a FIP of 4.57, XFIP of 4.60, I don't think this is real. I think it's smoke and mirrors. I don't know if it's this start because this Pirates offense isn't that good, as you can see on screen, right, number 24. So again, not sure it's this good, that this is the time that it'll bounce back for him because of this Pirates offense, but eventually, unless something changes, Colin Ray's going to have that ERA balloon out. He's not that good of a pitcher. The Brewers relievers, I have no idea what to make of them. Every time I think I figured them out, they do something different. The Pirates relievers, honestly, the same thing. These are two very confusing teams. The Brewers offense might be the thing I trust the most. They look at least decent again with Yelich. He's kind of been the catalyst for their offense. So I guess they've got that going for them. But when you've got Keller as the stronger starting pitcher and the model likes the Pirates bullpen more, if only by a little bit, this is a pretty coin toss game. I'm not really sure why the Brewers are 57% favorites other than the records. And yes, the Brewers have won more games. But the thing about baseball versus all other sports is the starting pitcher matters so much, obviously, and each starting pitcher only goes in 20% of the games. Not to say that you can't have misleading records in football, because you absolutely can. Hockey the same way, especially when you have the bonus goal in overtime with the weird points thing, and that makes literally no sense if you stop and think about it. But, you know, when you think about a sport like basketball, I mean, for the most part, like, you get 40, 50 games into the season, and, like, you know, a team that's got 20-some-odd wins versus a team that's got not yet to 20, like, they're the better team, right? You kind of know that. But baseball with starting pitchers, it's not the case. So, I know the Brewers' record's better, but the fact that the Pirates have the edge here at starting pitcher with Mitch Keller, again, who has bounced back nicely from a couple of rough starts early on, I think this is a pretty coin toss game. To me, the only question, it's Pirates or pass. The only question is, how are you playing this? Is it pass because you just don't trust the Pirates to get it done because their offense can disappear? Is it pass because you're looking at this Brewers offense thinking, man, they look a lot better with Yelich, and I really don't want to fade that. Is it Pirates full game because the price is better at the full game price than the first five? Is it Pirates first five because then you don't have to deal with the bullpens? Even though the model likes the Pirates bullpen a little bit more, they're still not that trustworthy at this point. The Pirates just came off that extra inning game. Looking at the bullpen usage, there's just a couple of different ways to look at this. It's Pirates or pass. Again, we'll have an official recommendation over on Dub Club, but right now we'll just leave you with that thought. Nats and the White Sox, lower 60s wind. Little across, little in, going to make it a little bit pitcher-friendly for Trevor Williams and Chris Flexen. A tale of two very different pitchers who came into this season, and I don't think they were projected that differently from each other. Flexen wasn't thought highly of according to the model. Neither was Trevor Williams. The difference is that Flexen has very much lived up to his bad reputation. 4.29 ERA is better than his 4.67 FIP, better than his 4.90 FIP. And again, that's good enough to keep a job in the major leagues, especially when you're pitching for the White Sox, but it's not that good. It's towards the very bottom of all starting pitchers, as you can see there with his grade, whereas Trevor Williams has kind of reinvented himself, changed his pitch, pitch usage up, added the pitch, looks like a whole new guy and continues to drive that grade down, down, down. Again, higher for all the grades means more runs, lower means fewer runs. So for a pitcher, you want to be lower. For a hitter, you want to be higher. We're getting close to league average. Soon enough, he'll be better than that if he keeps this up. 196 ERA, 250 FIP. XFIP's a little bit higher at 381, but even 381 would be pretty dang good for a guy who, honestly, if you'd asked me coming into the season, I would have said might not even be in the league in a couple of years because he's not that good. At this point, you have to think there's really no improvement coming from him, and teams are going to start going to younger guys. But so far this year, if he keeps up, I mean, just hats off. He has been fantastic. Offensively, I don't really trust either one of these teams. Again, we've talked about the Nats offense. They've scored a few runs at times this year. They're hanging here around 500, but they've still got some massive holes in their lineup, and you can see it with who's at the top of their lineup. They're not a good offense. But at least their bullpen is respectable as opposed to the White Sox. We've got the Nats here winning this 58% of the time. The market's got it at 55%. Folks, it's Nats or pass. We're not quite to that B grade threshold of minus 122, but there's really no way I could play the White Sox, no way I could fade Trevor Williams, no way I could back Chris Flexen. So it's 100% Nats or pass in this one. The biggest thing and the reason we have the model is to tell us how much the price should get up to. My hunch is you're not going to be seeing in the minus 120s all day Monday. I'd be really surprised. People tend to want to fade the White Sox with very good reason. You know, you can play this at minus 130. The model says minus 136, so play it at minus 135. Maybe if you want to play it to minus 140, but the reason we have the model to help guide is to say, you know, if it gets to minus 145, Trevor Williams is a better pitcher. Chris Flexen isn't good. The Nats have the bullpen edge, but baseball can be kind of wonky at times, and maybe we don't want to overexpose ourselves to too much risk if it gets up to a certain point. Talk about this a lot, but just as a quick reminder for us, the reason the price matters, the probability that the Nats win is not going to change. And then they're going to play one game and something's going to happen. The biggest thing is we want to make sure we're playing good prices, because if we are playing this type of game every single night for the rest of the year at minus 145 versus minus 125, we're going to win a bunch, we're going to lose a bunch, but at minus 125, we're going to make money. Minus 145, we aren't. And that's obviously true at the extremes. Where we have the model to help us out is, where does that point fall as to where you're profitable, where you're not, where we're outside of a margin of error, et cetera. So again, Nats are pass. We're not quite to that B grade threshold yet, but I'd be comfortable playing this as long as the price doesn't get too high. And again, that's where we have the model to help anchor us there. Guardians of the Rangers, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, around 70 degrees, could open the roof in Arlington if they choose to. Tanner Bibee and Michael Lorenzen. Two pitchers with mid-upper four ERAs, but I think they're a lot different than that. Again, we talk about ERA may not be the best representation of how good a starting pitcher is. There are a lot of reasons for that. When you look at the underlying metrics, Bibee projects more like a low four pitcher, whereas Lorenzen projects pretty similar to that mid-upper fours that he's at. I think Bibee's the better pitcher here. I'm not sure it's overly close. I love this Guardians bullpen. Offensively, the Rangers offense still grades out better despite some of their injuries. This Guardians offense has looked really good, but they just lost two games to Chicago. So you've seen they do have some holes, and that's why we have the model to help us not overreact to the fact that this Guardians offense played really, really well for the first 6 weeks of the season, first 5 weeks of the season, however long you want to go with that. They are probably better than we thought coming into the season. That's what the model suggested. They probably aren't as good as they looked those first 5 weeks. So I still think the Rangers offense is better. That said, I still think the Guardians win this game. The market's got them at 48%. We've got them at 52%. It's Guardians or pass, as always, just have to figure out how to play them. The model might lean you a little bit over here. I will say I'd much rather be going over numbers like 8.5 than under them. But the biggest question with this total is exactly which bullpen gets involved. Because if the Guardians bullpen top guys get involved, they probably shut things down. If the Rangers bullpen gets too involved, they're the ones who are going to give up the run. So that's kind of the determining factor on how I'm viewing this total. But again, my main thought, Guardians or pass. Athletics and the A's. Athletics and the Astros, all the A teams. Astros get done for us here recently. I want to spend just a quick second talking about them, of course. We've talked a lot about them all season. We've done fantastic with this Astros team. We took them pretty heavy with two totals last week, got both of those. Took them back the Astros both Friday and Sunday, got both of those. The Astros are actually a much simpler team, I think, to handicap. The market's overreacting and crisscrossing, and it's pretty simple, I think. They're not as bad as everyone's making them out to be. They aren't as good as a team that's been to the ALCS 912 straight years, approximately. You can see that with the starting pitchers. Having Spencer Arrighetti pitch, battling for the worst starting pitcher in all of baseball that's healthy and actually in a rotation right now. When you have guys like that going, things aren't going to go well. But I've been preaching it for the last several weeks. The Astros bullpen is better than it's been. It'll probably be okay. They lack a little bit of depth, and that hurts. But you saw the Astros bullpen hold on to a lead in New York on Thursday. They not only held on to a lead in Detroit on Friday, but did what their counterparts in Detroit couldn't do in helping them win that game. They'll probably be okay. They're not necessarily the best bullpen in baseball. And again, they lack a little bit of depth, but they're okay. The biggest thing with the Astros is the starting pitcher. That doesn't really help them out here with Spencer Arrighetti. Thankfully for them, they're going up against Ross Stripling, who doesn't grade out very well himself. The Astros have an offensive edge here in this one. The A's offense has been kind of lagging behind, maybe getting going the last week or so, but in general has been a little bit of a disappointment. What hasn't been, and we've talked about it all season, is this A's bullpen that is now all of a sudden up to seventh best in baseball. Which is what we kept saying. They started off the year, it was like a good week or two, and it was like, okay, it's just a small sample size, right? Bump them up a little bit. And then another good week, and it's like, well, they got a little bit better. Another good week, a little bit better. Another good week, a little bit better. And we're just like, just going to keep adjusting them up. And they keep looking really good. It's not just the park they're playing in. This bullpen looks really good. When the A's are in games, they're winning a lot of them because this bullpen is fantastic. The issue for them, the same as the issue with the Astros, is how good is their starting pitching going to be? We backed the A's on Saturday when they had Joey Estes come up, who's actually pretty respectable. Not great, but not terrible. Stripling, he's better than his 5.14 ERA. He's better than Spencer Arrighetti, 3.73 FIP. But you have to think that while both offenses are going to have success, the bigger mismatch comes when the Astros hit. That's why they're favored. They might be favored by a little bit too much. We backed the Astros again on Friday and Sunday, both wins, did not back them on Saturday, passed on the side there. Here, probably a game where they're favored by a little bit too much, but they are favored. They should be favored. I'm not sure there's a huge side edge either which way. If there is, it's probably on the A's. And given the A's bullpen, it's never crazy to back them one way or the other. Might be a little bit of an edge in the total here. The market's projecting in the 8.5 to 9 range. The model thinks more 9 to 9.5. So that might be one way to look at it. Of course, again, the bullpens aren't that bad, so something to keep in mind before you fire away. Cardinals and the Angels, low 60s to start, upper 50s to close. A slight breeze out at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Matthew Liberatore will be getting the start, has made one start through like three innings. He's been kind of a bullpen guy, kind of a long relief guy, kind of an opener a little bit. Based off how they used him in his last start, I've used him a few times. I'm thinking he's going to go for like 3 or 4 innings-ish. Jose Soriano for the Angels, been very respectable. I mean, I don't really think there's much to talk about with either one of these starting pitchers. They both seem very okay. They both seem like they're probably not going to go very deep. It's going to get into the bullpens. And folks, that's where the Cardinals are going to have the big edge, as you can see there on screen. I trust the Cardinals bullpen. I don't trust the Angels bullpen. This is a game where the first 5 betting market is really intriguing to me. That's not out yet. So we'll see if there's an official pick on this game on Dub Club in the morning. But you have to think, if the Angels hang in there early, is the only chance they have, because this is a tight game at around the midway point when it gets really deep into the bullpens. And again, I don't think the Cardinals will be, I think the Cardinals will be in the bullpen probably by the fourth inning. That's where their strength is. Now, the downside of the bullpen game, you have to have everybody on. One guy struggles, things go south. The good news for the bullpen game is it sometimes keeps the other team on their toes, so it kind of can be a double-edged sword. I think the Cardinals should be favored in this one. No line on it as of yet because we haven't figured out exactly who is starting for, I guess, the Cardinals. I guess we haven't confirmed that. Maybe they're doing something else. I'm not really sure, but no line as of yet. But it does appear like these are the two pitchers. So assuming that's the case and nothing changes from this, here are the metrics you can use. Again, I think the Cardinals make a lot of sense. But again, the first five market's really interesting because I don't think any pitcher goes very deep and the bullpens are going to really diverge probability-wise because one bullpen is good, the other one isn't. Reds and Diamondbacks, 9:40 p.m. Eastern, first pitch. Warm one in Phoenix, around 90 degrees to start, around 80 degrees to close. This is the type of game where they have, on occasion, kept their roof open. And the ball, if that's the case, is going to absolutely fly because it's going to be so warm. So keep an eye on the roof status of this one. If they close the roof, it'll probably, the total's, I think, pretty spot on. If they open the roof, it's hard not to think that this total should be 9, maybe even higher, because it's going to be so warm to start. Those home runs should be easier to come by. Offensively, the Diamondbacks are much better than the Reds. Bullpen-wise, the Diamondbacks bullpen's been kind of up and down, not very good, but the Reds bullpen, obviously, nobody has any faith in. Montgomery and Ashcraft, two pitchers that are pretty respectable. You have no qualms with either one of them. Ashcraft's xFIP is right in line with his ERA, very respectable. Based off his previous season data last year, still kind of hovering around average. He's been better than average this year, but using last year's data, that kind of pulls him back a little bit. Montgomery's the other way around. Hasn't been quite as good this year. Using previous year's data brings him up a little bit. He's also only made 4 starts. One of those was against the Dodgers. That's obviously the big asterisk. Anytime you know you make 25% of your starts against the Dodgers. I think Montgomery's the better pitcher. It doesn't really matter. It's by a small amount if it is. The biggest thing is the Reds are now 17-23. I've been talking about it all season. This Reds team isn't that good. They're overrated by the market. I don't know when we're going to figure it out, but they aren't that good. Or I say we. I figured it out. I knew from the start. I don't know when everybody else is going to figure it out. They can beat up on bad teams. They're going to struggle against good teams. The Diamondbacks are below 500 so far this year. They've struggled. If you think they're a bad team, maybe you think the Reds got a chance. If you think the Diamondbacks are a good team, I think you know your answer. We've got the Diamondbacks winning this 62% of the time. Again, less on the starting pitcher difference, more on the fact that in the bullpens, while the Diamondbacks relievers can be a little bit up and down, their depth is there. The back-end guys aren't. That helps in case Montgomery struggles. The Reds' bullpen isn't good. The offenses are really different. And the Reds' offense is even worse against lefties, as they're a little bit left-handed heavy. That also comes into play with a guy like Ellie De La Cruz, who, when he bats right-handed, is very average. But when he bats left-handed, is basically Barry Bonds. So going lefties against him, it really helps out, minimizing one of the only good Reds offensive players. So again, there's a lot of reasons to like the Diamondbacks here, in my opinion. Diamondbacks are pass. And again, keep an eye on the roof if you're betting this total. Rockies and the Padres, 9:40 p.m. Eastern, first pitch, around 60 degrees. Slight breeze in, going to play pretty pitcher-friendly. Two pitchers that might need all the help they can get. The benefit for Randy Vasquez for the Padres is he gets to face the worst offense in baseball in the Rockies. But other than that, Vasquez's 3 starts have been less than impressive, little bit mixed results if you look under the hood, and that his FIP's a whole lot higher than his XFIP. What does that mean? He's been a little bit unlucky with the home run ball. That'll probably turn around in San Diego, pitching more starts there. I don't think he's that good. He's probably not terrible. He should do just fine against the Rockies. Dakota Hudson, on the other hand, 6.35 ERA. FIP and XFIP both in the 5s. It's not just a high ERA because, of course, he's not a very good pitcher. The Padres' offense is good. Now, it is a hitter, pitcher-friendly ballpark, but in general, there's a reason the Padres are going to be big favorites in this one. The only question is, are they favored by too much? No line out on this one as of right now. I can't really tell you why. It does look like these are the two confirmed starting pitchers. Padres are big favorites. I'm not sure I'm dying to play the Rockies unless I can get a price well into that B grade. Number, the market, the model has 7.5 for the total. Again, Rockies offense in a pitcher-friendly park, going to be hard not to play an under there as long as the number isn't 7. I would not go under 7. But for whatever reason, it does seem like the under might be a pretty solid look here, depending on what exactly comes out in the market. Royals and the Mariners, 9:40 p.m. Eastern, first pitch, mid-50s, wind in, pitcher-friendly park, pitcher-friendly weather, pitcher-friendly pitchers, Brady Singer and George Kirby. Singer, probably not quite as good at 2.36 ERA, but folks, looks like he is absolutely back. 3.40 at FIP, 3.34 ex-FIP, grade continues to get better. Cannot say enough good things about the season he's having. He looks great. George Kirby has looked great for a long time. 4.15 ERA, but folks, don't be discouraged by that. FIP of 3, ex-FIP of 3.32. He will be just fine. Two really good pitchers I like. Two bullpens that are decent enough. Obviously, the Mariners, I've been talking about how they're going to get so much better when they get Matt Brash back. He's now out for the year. That is a big blow to them. But in general, these Mariners relievers are still respectable. Offensively, the Mariners' offense is better. They're at home. They should be favored. But folks, the first time all season, I believe, we have a total projection of under 6.5. That doesn't mean I'd go under 6.5. But in general, when you see 6.5, it's over or past. And in this case, I would actually have to think twice. But if you can get a 7 on this, you have to think under. It makes a lot of sense. Dodgers and the Giants, mid to low 50s. Slight breeze blowing out, but in the park, that this does not matter at all because of the way the wind swirls. Yamamoto for the Dodgers has been incredible. 2.79 ERA, 3.11 FIP, ex-FIP in the upper twos. Very, very, very good. Jordan Hicks also good. 2.30 ERA, FIP in the low threes. Ex-FIP at 4 is kind of what's holding him back. We've got Yamamoto as the better pitcher. Obviously, the Dodgers' offense is better. But again, the model is really concerned about the Dodgers' bullpen without Evan Phillips. Only gives them a 53% chance to win. That seems a little bit low, and your first thought probably will be that it's a little bit low. We've liked the Giants all season, probably a little bit too much. They did at least get 2 out of 3 wins for us here to wrap up the weekend in against Cincinnati. The fact that the Giants are home, they have a bullpen edge, and their starting pitcher isn't that far behind is kind of their hope here. If you're going to back the Dodgers, what the model would tell you is to do it first 5. Don't let the bullpens get involved. This Giants bullpen looks better and better. Now, they did play an extra inning game on Sunday, and so that could affect their bullpen on Monday specifically. But the model's just very concerned about what's going to happen here with the Dodgers bullpen, exactly how things shape out, does not think highly of them, and thinks that once Yamamoto is done after approximately 5 or 6 innings, that's where things get question mark. The Dodgers are up 6 runs, ain't going to matter. The Dodgers are only up 1 or 2. It could. So it's really Dodgers first 5 if you're going to play them. But even then, it looks like they're probably a little bit overpriced. The Dodgers are really, really good. This Giants team, probably not quite as bad as their record. I'm not saying I'm playing the Giants. Sometimes when I say just something like Giants are pass, you can look at it and say, this is a good time to pass. Hicks isn't the better pitcher. The Dodgers are overpriced, but that doesn't necessarily mean I have to be on the other side. Sometimes we just walk away. That's probably where I would be right now. But of note, the projected total of 7.17 could be a good under, especially if you can grab a 7.5, because again, I do trust both starting pitchers. We do trust the Giants bullpen, and the Giants offense can disappear. So under might be a good look, especially if you can get under 7.5. That's all we've got here for you. Thanks for watching. Again, remember Dub Club, free trial to start you out with that link in the show description. A ton of benefits over there. If you have not checked it out yet, please do so today. Otherwise, though, as always, best of luck, and remember, you can eat your betting money, but please don't bet your eating money.